We're going to jump to the press review now with Emily Boyle. Emily, you're starting us off with Trump's upcoming tour of the Middle East. What do you have for us?
Yes, exactly. Well, Trump is expected to head off to the Middle East tomorrow, where he'll be visiting Saudi Arabia, Qatar and the United Arab Emirates. But what's mostly interesting is where he's not going, and that's Israel. It's on the front page of the Lebanese paper L'Orient Le Jour here today. They say that Trump is redefining his priorities in the region, as demonstrated by his absence in Tel Aviv. Other papers are also picking up on tensions in the region ahead of his trip. The Israeli news site Haaretz here is looking at what really matters. They say the most important thing about the visit is the undeniable rift between Israel and the Gulf states. But they take a more cautious stance when talking about a split between Trump and Netanyahu because, quote, Trump tends to change his mind. The NBC News in the States, though, is being slightly less cautious. Their headline says that disagreements on Iran and Gaza are creating a tension between Netanyahu and Trump. It says, for instance, that Israel thinks it has an opportunity to wipe out Iran's nuclear facilities, but Trump would like to make a deal on Gaza. Netanyahu has announced a new military offensive, but again, Trump is more concerned with a ceasefire. The Guardian has this editorial here today and looking at Trump's policy on Gaza and how he could stop the horror. The piece says that the president has the leverage to force a ceasefire through, but that if it doesn't, he quotes, will implicitly signal approval for what looks like total destruction.
Meanwhile, amid a blockade of humanitarian aid deliveries to Gaza, the humanitarian situation is worsening. What are the papers saying?
Well, let's start with NPR. They're discussing a US proposal plan to get food into Gaza after Israel's 10-week ban on aid. But the American proposal would only provide food to about 60% of Gaza's civilians, and it's still unclear who would be organising it and who will be paying for it. Aid groups said the plan appears to be designed for control over vital supplies as part of a military strategy. There's an article in Le Monde today here. It's looking at the closure of several life-saving soup kitchens in Gaza as they run out of supplies. It also details how soup kitchens were hit by Israeli bombs during a distribution. The article says that the UN has recorded many instances of airstrikes which targeted similar humanitarian areas. Finally, on this story, AP here has this. It's reporting on the impact of Israel's blockade on hospitals which can no longer provide food for recovering patients. The article says that families now have to bring food to the hospital to care for their loved ones.
Moving on, and 68 million people are heading to the polls in the Philippines as it braces for crucial midterm elections. What are the papers saying about this?
Yes, well, voting opens today in the Philippines, where 24 Senate seats and 316 seats in the House of Representatives are at stake. Let's have a look in the Philippine Daily Inquirer there. They're looking at the potential foreign interference in this election. But mostly, other news outlets are looking at the clash of the dynasties, indeed the ruling alliance between President Marcos and Vice President Sara Duterte is now locked in a fierce battle for seats in the Senate. If Marcos wins, he could impeach Duterte, meaning she could no longer run for president. But if she survives, many believe she's likely to win the next presidential election to be held in 3 years' time, at which point Duterte might seek revenge for her father's trial at the International Criminal Court. But the New York Times tells us that it's not a prison cell that's going to stop her father, former President Rodrigo Duterte, from running. This article says that despite being accused of crimes against humanity, he's maintained his popularity at home. Duterte is expected to win his eighth term as mayor of Davao City during these midterms. Davao is a stronghold for the Duterte dynasty. One of his sons is expected to win the vice mayoral race and act as mayor in his father's absence. Now, Duterte's hearing is scheduled for September. He stands accused of crimes against humanity linked to his brutal war on drugs, which killed tens of thousands of people.
All right, and European leaders were in Kiev over the weekend, as we've been reporting, meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky. But their trip has been creating some unexpected headlines. Tell us more.
Yes, exactly. Well, these were headlines that were quite present in the news over the weekend. This from Turkey Today. Russia alleges Macron, Mertz and Starmer had cocaine party in Kyiv. The evidence is here, this little white unidentified object, which sent the internet into turmoil after a Telegram post by a spokesperson for Russia's foreign ministry. This is the Telegram post in question with the red circles there. It's clear evidence for her that Starmer, Mertz and Macron were having a train cocaine party on their way to Ukraine. Now, as we can see in Libération, French papers were very quick to come out against the conspiracy, as was the French government. On this post on X here, they confirmed that the cocaine was actually a tissue. They also had this meme template here, which is on the diplomatic side of cringe, if you ask me. It says, this is a tissue and this is European unity.
All right, finally from you, Emily. A Marine has just completed the world's longest triathlon. What can you tell us?
Yes, exactly. Well, this is news that an ex-Marine, Mitchell Hutchcraft, has just put all the Ironman show-offs to shame. He's completed the world's longest triathlon. We can have a look at the race track here and him swimming. It took him 8 months to complete. He started off with a small warm-up. He just swam across the English Channel. He then cycled for 12,000 kilometres from France to the foothill of the Himalayas, and he topped it all off by climbing Everest.
What a show-off, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit.
Thank you very much for that look at the papers. Emily, thank you to you for watching France 24. We'll be back after this short break.